Each week, nearly a dozen movies are released theatrically. 40 films a month, more than 400 a year. That's a plethora of cinema. Too much cinema. You'd have to be an addict to see all that. But don't fret. We've got you covered. This is Cinematics.
Hey everyone, what's up? It's Cinematics episode 249. This is July 4th weekend. Me and Eric Holmes and Bruce Berkey, we are covering movies that are coming out for the week of July 5th, 2024. Again, Cinematics episode 249. Eric Holmes, how are you, my brother? How are you doing? How are you, sir?
Not bad. Feeling a bit weird.
Why do you feel weird?
No,
you are weird, and so am I.
It feels a little empty in here, and I can't quite put my finger on why that is.
It's empty because you have an empty life, just like I have an empty life. So we fill our empty lives by watching movies, Eric. We have no life. Just remember that. So it's okay to feel empty because you are empty. Am I cheering you up?
I see. Yeah, it's all starting to make sense. Bruce, what do you think?
Bruce? Eric, Bruce... Bruce is not in the camera. Is he? Who's zooming who? As Aretha Franklin, rest in peace, would have sung years ago. Do you see Bruce here on the Zoom?
I don't. Bruce?
Bruce Berkey?
Can you hear us?
Oh, Major Tom? Bruce Berkey's gone. Well, folks, Eric and I are doing our first Cinematics episode together, sans Bruce Berkey. Bruce Berkey has been with us since Movie Mainline, since Find Your Film, and since Cinematics, and now, unfortunately, Bruce Berkey is not part of the show anymore. Wait, is that correct?
Not totally. Not part of the,
what?
He won't be recording with us, but he will still be on the Cinematics, just in a different way going forward.
I was giving out fake news, listeners. Here's the bad news. Very bad news, okay? Not just for you guys, but for me and Eric. Bruce Berkey is not part of the weekly recording main show. We are not going to explain why, because here's the good news. Bruce Berkey is still part of Cinematics. He is still part of the trio. The only thing is he will be recording in his own. Oh, I apologize for the actual text. One second. Sorry for that interruption, folks. My sister just texted me and I don't know how to turn off notifications on my iPhone. Fake news. Bruce Berkey is still part of Cinematics. And the good news of this is he actually will record his reviews on a given week regarding on his time and place. He needs the time in his own studio to record. No, not because he thinks he's better than me and Eric, even if you ever felt that way.
He is.
Yeah, Bruce Berkey, if you're listening, you are a better reviewer.
He can think that, he just doesn't.
It's just normal. And to you listeners, I'm sure, you wonderful Cinematics listeners, you have been actually, Bruce has been your balance, your buoy. He's been the person who you count on for, I don't know, Eric, insightful movie reviews? How would you describe Bruce's movie reviews?
Yeah, definitely that. One of the good things is that you and I can bask in the glory of Scott Adkins and we don't have to worry about, what does Bruce think? He hates us, doesn't he?
Scott, okay, so folks, now that Bruce is quote-unquote gone from the quote-unquote main show, this is not the main show, because once you listen to Bruce's reviews at the end of the episode of his recaps, which we're going to tag it at the end of this episode, you'll realize you might actually play your podcast and just fast forward through for 80 minutes and wait for Bruce's stuff, which we agree, maybe start off with Bruce's stuff, and then for the come down, listen to this main show. You're gonna be having a good time listening to his reviews. He will be doing a review of Kill, a whole bunch of other stuff. It's 21 minutes, folks. So he's still part of our weekly show, but Eric and I will be carrying the main episode.
So they can listen to Bruce, and then once they're done with that, they'll go, I guess I'll listen to these other two clowns.
Exactly.
Get like 2 minutes in. Nah, I'm good. And then
but sometimes addition by subtraction from the main show, like Eric was saying, you're going to have more coverage of Scott Adkins, Jason Patrick movies. What else, Eric?
Michael Dudikoff? I was going to say Scoot McNairy, but I think Bruce likes Scoot McNairy. But Stephen Dorff.
If you want Stephen Dorff, Jason Patrick movies, see Thomas Howell films from the 90s, early aughts, you've come to the right place. Cinematics is now spelled S-I-N-N-E-M-A, Cinematics. We're going to have some straight to video.
Eric, all direct to DVD action all the time. This is what we are going for.
Agent Recon 24/7, folks, on Cinematics. Now, look, call. You can write your local congressman or actually contact Bruce Perky, bruceperky@gmail.com, and plead. Say, please, Bruce, come back to the show because Eric and Greg have torn these episodes asunder. But anyways, any final comments regarding lacking Bruce on a weekly basis? We miss him, but we're still talking to him during the week and we're still getting the weekly stuff from him.
I wonder with you know, Bruce not gone, but like in a different way on here. I wonder if that'll catch Anderson's ire and get him back into Cinematics. It's like, these two guys are ruining my legacy of Cinematics. And then Greg, Eric, stand aside. I'm gonna write the ship.
Well, Anderson Cowan, he is the co-creator of Cinematics. Anderson, me, Bruce Perky, Eric Holmes, I can speak for all of us. We miss you. And if you want to do what Bruce Perky does and actually do your own reviews and put them at the end of Cinematics, you are not welcome to do. You are gone. Right, Eric? No from Anderson? Do you want Anderson back?
Oh, yes.
Okay. He says, oh, yes. No, we love you, Anderson.
I want Anderson back. I want Bruce back. I want Louis LaCow back.
I miss Louis. Yeah.
Yeah.
I miss him. You are such a very kind and wonderful fella. How was your week? What's been the last week like for you, Eric, with all these interviews and all the stuff you've done?
Well, planning on going out to the Film Vault is having a live event. So I was trying to get days off and successfully got some days off. So I'll be heading out there on the around the 4th, August 4th. So that'll be fun. And then
I also live in LA. We're going to spend time together, right, Eric?
Yeah. Who knows? Okay. We'll see what happens. But maybe we'll just just record an episode out there or something.
Very good.
We'll figure it out. Okay. But also, I've been messing around with the Unreal Engine 5. I think I mentioned that last week or the week before, but just been doing more of that. It's fun learning.
Okay.
Things out of it.
What have you made recently out of it?
Mostly making like environments and backgrounds and like learn how to, you know, just basic stuff, just kind of learning how it works. But I'm starting to figure it out and getting pretty decent at it. Not great, but pretty decent. So if you're making a movie and you need an environment made, I could be your guy. I'm just saying.
Okay, throwing that out there. Oh, Eric. Hey,
Eric, I need a desert. I can make something that's empty. Not a problem.
Very, very good. Call Eric Holmes for your cinematic technical needs. Also hit up Eric Holmes because he over at cinematicspodcast.com, because the shower curtains won't sell themselves. We also have horse-drawn carriages. What else, Eric Holmes?
Shirts. Shorts. Mm-hmm. Banger season bike shorts. Pickleball. I think we still got a couple posters on there. Like the script posters. Yeah, they haven't taken them down yet, so I guess it's good. I mean, the whole point was it was all like public domain stuff, so I think we're good. Okay. And it's been up for a while, so shower curtains for all your murdering needs. especially since we're talking about Kill, Murder Company, and Boneyard, because we're a family channel.
Oh yeah.
We only cover movies dealing with murder. And we sell murder kits too on the merch store. So
we'll
it's
see.
Family show. It's fine.
It's family show. We'll see how long Teespring has her murder kits. That's a joke, folks. That's a joke. Okay, so the movies we are covering this week again, cinematicspodcast.com, Patreon. By the way, Bruce, me and Eric, we're still part of Patreon. Okay. For this month, we are covering the year, I believe, 2006. And it's Bruce Perky's turn for this month. And you will be hearing Bruce Perky very soon at the end of the month for Patreon. And of course, tell us what you think of Bruce's stuff at the end of the episode. And or maybe if we should bump Bruce's stuff at the beginning of these Cinematics episodes as well. Now, let's get to our features. We have the films Kill, Murder Company, Space Cadet, and we also have Boneyard. These are our top four films. Also, there is going to be a recommendation of a documentary called Minnesota Mean. Eric Holmes, true or false? Greg Srizavasti used to live in Minnesota. What do you think?
True.
True or false? True. Okay. Yes, I did.
I will say true only because you're asking the question. So it must be true.
It must be true. I was not shaking when I asked that question. I should, is it true or false, Eric? No, I should have sounded a little bit more neurotic. Yeah, for 2 years, I lived in Edina, Minnesota from the years 79 to 80. For anyone who doesn't care, just FYI, I love Minnesota. Too many mosquitoes. Too many mosquitoes for where you're over at, over in Colorado? You get a lot of mosquitoes?
No, not out here. When I lived in Nebraska, there were definitely a lot of them, especially during summertime.
Did not know that. Very
interesting. Midwest sucks with weather and bugs. Not fun.
Okay. Speaking of, okay, there's not fun, but there possibly is fun with this movie called Kill. What a horrible title in the sense that, my gosh, it scares me. A title that just says Kill could either give you nightmares, or maybe if you are a bloodthirsty type of cinephile, it might draw you to the theaters. This is an Indian film, Indian cinema, and it centers on star-crossed lovers Tulika, played by Tanya Maniktala, and Amrit, played by Lakshya. And they are secret lovers. Okay, that's what they are, right? They have a clandestine relationship. And what happens is after Tulika, she is promised to another man. She and her family are whisked aboard the Rajani Express. I apologize for these mispronunciations. They are bound on a train, bound for New Delhi for this arranged marriage. Now what happens is Amrit, again played by Lakshya, he is determined to stop this marriage, and he's trying to save his lover, his soulmate, from actually marrying this dude. The problem is there's a couple of factions that invade the train, leading to all-out violence, and the rest of the film, most of it, takes place in the train while Amrit tries his best to save Tulika and her family from these baddies. And what happens is just a lot of violence and fighting occur in Kill. And that's essentially the movie. 115 minutes, rated R, exclusively in theaters July 4th. My personal prediction is Eric Holmes loved Kill, and he's going to give it possibly maybe 4 to 4.5 stars. I could be wrong. Eric, what say you about Kill?
Kill is essentially the raid on a train, and that's not much more to say than that. It's it definitely has like a Bollywood kind of feel to it. Not like they don't like dance and everything. And it doesn't get quite that ridiculous, but there are like some kind of DNA, similar DNA to that, but it's also got some John Wick and Ray DNA. Like the fight scenes are really cool. And, you know, the fact that it's on a train, it's like, I don't know if you saw Bullet Train, but yes, like the cars.
I like this train better than Bullet Train. I like this.
Yeah, this one's a lot more claustrophobic, because in Bullet Train, like the cars are, you know, the train's real wide, and the there's a lot of room to, you know, get a good running start and do a bunch of stuff. In this, you're like, everyone's kind of cramped in.
Right.
And so, and I think a cool thing about that is like, typically you'll watch a fight out in the open and there's one guy versus like 10 guys and just one person at a time comes up and you're like, why don't all 10 just jump them? Well, in the train, when it's so narrow, you're bottlenecked in, kind of like what they did in 300. So you can only fight one person at a time. Of course, like when they come up behind you, that, you know, that makes it tough. A lot of the action scenes and like the kills, you know, they use just about every bit of the train that you can think of. And then they even bring in some things in the train where, like, I don't know where they got the grappling hook from, but sure, fine. Why not? But yeah, it's real inventive, real crazy, but not so crazy. It's like, you know, it's still sort of grounded. But it was incredibly fun and creative, and I liked it a lot. And the story was simple enough. Like, I guess it kind of got a little convoluted sort of towards the beginning, but once you get the main gist of what's going on, then it just kind of becomes straight action, which I guess could be a problem for some people. Like, I can imagine Anderson watching this and just, you know, the movie just kind of glazing over him, and his, you know, eyes getting heavy and heavy, you know, watching, because he doesn't like that kind of stuff usually. But for those who like The Raid, for those who like John Wick, those kind of movies, I think this is kind of on that level.
Yes. This is close to a movie that all three of us reviewed earlier this year. Mayhem almost reaches it. I think it gets close to it. Mayhem is still my favorite action film this year. I don't know about you, Eric.
Yeah,
but same. Or was it? Yeah, I just love that film so much. But there are things that happen in Kill which makes this movie, to me, not as derivative as one would think. So there's a couple of nice curveballs that are thrown in the plot that I appreciated. And for 115 minutes, I was completely enthralled with all of the action. It did not lose its momentum for me. Overall, I highly recommend Kill. I'm giving it, I think also that Lakshya, he could be a possible future action star, if not a star, period. He's very good in the lead role. Love the third act wrap up as well. My rating for Kill is 4.5 stars. So that, again, in theaters July 4th, exclusively in theaters. What about you, Eric?
I think I might go 4 stars on this. Kind of leaning towards 4.5, but I think I'll go 4 just because, like, the fighting is unrelenting. So after a while, it gets to be a bit too much. But then again, like, they still have a little bit more, like, little emotional moments here. So you can kind of take a breath and, tear up or feel a certain way about someone. Sometimes it gets silly, and it doesn't quite work, but other times it does. But overall, really good. And you have to, I did not know this was playing in theaters. Is it playing in theaters like wide release, or is it playing in theaters
wide release?
New York and LA?
I believe wide release, exclusively in theaters. So
yeah, if you can watch this in a theater, do it. I had no idea it would do that, but I can imagine seeing this in a theater and changing from 4 to 4.5.
Okay. 4 stars for Eric Holmes, 4.5 stars for me for Kill, exclusively in theaters July 4th. And now, here's something that's very interesting. In theaters, on digital and on demand, is a film called Murder Company. Here's a plot summary. Quote, in the midst of the D-Day invasion, a group of U.S. soldiers are given orders to smuggle a member of the French resistance behind enemy lines to assassinate a high-value Nazi target. So basically, a bunch of U.S. soldiers, they have this sort of against all odds kind of mission. Phil Collins' song is not in the movie, but they have this really horrible mission and really tough mission to actually rescue this sniper, French resistance sniper played by Gilles Marini. And he's very good in this movie. And the soldiers are played by Wei Mosley, Pooch Hall, and Joe Anderson. They make up some of the soldiers. It reminds me of past movies like The Dirty Dozen, The Big Red One. Reminds me of a Samuel Fuller film. It's directed by Shane Dax Taylor. Also stars Kelsey Grammer. This was a basic Army World War II film. And basic, what I mean by that is no frills. Really good action. Really good story. Got to the point. Meat and potatoes film. This is what I wanted from a war film. And it just checked off all the boxes. And I enjoyed it so much that I was wondering, maybe Eric doesn't like it because I like it so much. There has to be something wrong with Murder Company. Am I wrong on that? Or did you like this movie as well?
No, I like this. Kind of reminded me of a Jesse B. Johnson movie. It's got that kind of flavor to it. And yeah, like you said, it's similar to Kill. It's just kind of what it is. And, you know, it's got the little emotional beats and stuff as you would have. But it's, you know, it doesn't try to do too much. Because this is also a lower budget movie, so its ambition doesn't go outside of its budget. It just kind of it kind of stays in its lane, and it's like, this is what we're doing, and we're going to try to do this as best we can. I think it pulls it off for the most part.
Yeah, I think it's remember years ago, maybe several years ago, you and I and Bruce, we did a review of The Steel Helmet, and that's a Samuel Fuller film, and that was shot in Griffith Park. And look, Samuel Fuller films are just, as we know, all of us love Fuller. And what Fuller was able to do with a limited budget in Griffith Park to make that Korean War film, just that's a classic film. Now, does Murder Company reach the levels of The Steel Helmet? No, because The Steel Helmet is probably one of my favorite war films. But still, this is a very good war film. Really enjoyed the action. Cared about the soldiers and their respective fates. And I really thought the performances were thoroughly engaging. Kelsey Grammer is good. I mean, And what's interesting about Kelsey Grammer is you look at Kelsey Grammer in a low budget indie film like Murder Company, you think he'll be in it for what, 10, 15 minutes? But I feel like he has a good enough role so it's not vanity casting. So I think it's good because he's sort of the leader of all these men. He doesn't actually go out on the mission, but he commissions these people to go out on the mission. I thought, I'm giving high marks to Murder Company. I'm giving it 4.5 stars. What about you, Eric?
I'm probably at 3.5 on this,
okay, cool.
So I watched this a couple weeks ago, probably almost a month ago at this point, but it was shortly after watching Agent Recon.
Mm.
And so this has nothing to do with the movie. This is just kind of what was going through my head as I was watching it. But I was like, Mark Singer really needs to be, this movie is missing Mark Singer.
Oh, really?
But yeah, the cast that they do have is mostly people other than Kelsey Grammer, probably people you wouldn't know, but they all pull off their roles good. And yeah, it's got some good warring action, some good characters, and yeah, I'd say check it out.
And actually, what I'm going to put when I have time this weekend on the feed, Eric Holmes did interview Gilles Marini for...
That was Murder a cool Company. Interview.
Yeah, Murder Company.
I enjoyed that. Dude, that guy, I think I mentioned this, but I'll mention it again. That guy needs to teach acting.
Yeah.
Just listening to him talk about that and his passion for it, I was like, go on. Just don't stop talking on my account.
And that interview with Gilles Marini is actually found on our Cinematics YouTube channel, which, by the way, you can also listen to our weekly Cinematics podcast by going on YouTube, typing up Cinematics, and you'll see our weekly or listen to our weekly podcast feed, as well as a lot of Eric's interviews go there as well, and including this week's interview with Gilles Marini, who, as Eric said, should be an acting teacher. Some really interesting stuff from
what was that, Gilles. I forget the name of the Jesse V. Johnson war movie.
Boudica, Queen of War.
No, yeah. The one where it was like an American Army movie. I think it was American Army.
Hell Hath and Fury. Hell Hath and Fury.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
This is kind of on that level. Mm. I think Hell Hath No Fury is a little better than this one. But like, if you like Hell Hath No Fury, I would definitely check this out and maybe even double feature both of them.
Okay, very cool. And this is... That is it. That's 3.5 stars for Eric Holmes, 4.5 stars for me. I really love Murder Company. Again, on digital, on demand. At least, Eric, you recommended it. So I thought you would have. Yeah, it's good. On digital, on demand, in theaters, July 5th. Again, that is Murder Company. Next up is a Prime Video release. Hits Prime Video on July 4th. Space Cadet. Emma Roberts, she plays Tiffany Rex Simpson. She is, how do you say this? She works at a bar, but she's... she's a blue collar worker, works very hard, really wonderful, responsible human being. One thing is she has not lived out her dreams to become an astronaut. And she's always wanted to because her late mother wanted her to follow her dreams and her father is supportive as well. Her best friend, Nadine, played by Poppy Liu, she is supportive too. But what happens is Tiffany Rex Simpson, again, played by Emma Roberts, she decides to go to space camp and to become an astronaut. And what she finds is, as a space cadet, is she's, even though she sort of fakes her qualifications or might not be the most qualified out of the group, she's a very resourceful person. And Space Cadet is a comedy drama which looks at her journey into becoming, in her attempts to become a, quote, space cadet. It is written and directed by Liz W. Garcia. And I'm looking here on the plot summary. It's a comedy about the power of being yourself, following your dreams, and shooting for the stars. And that sounds cheesy. It is. But I really loved the cheesiness of Space Cadet. It's one of those movies that make you feel good. If you have any vested interest in Emma Roberts, you like her as a person, and as an actress, more importantly, as an actress for Space Cadet, you're going to really enjoy this movie. It's a feel-good, predictable, but highly resonant film. And it hits Prime Video July 4th, rated PG-13, running at 110 minutes. Our other YouTube channel, Deepest Dream, I will have my interview with Liz W. Garcia, shortly later this week. And she got pretty emotional reflecting on the meaning behind Space Cadet and just the themes of it. So it looks like a light, fluffy comedy, and it is, but I found myself very invested in the lead character and the people around, and I might have been chopping onions just slightly just because of some of the stuff that is talked about in Space Cadet. So yeah, for me, four stars for Space Cadet. Again, Prime Video, July 4th. Might not be for everyone. Okay, but if...
What's that movie I think we covered last year? I know what
you're going to say. Michael Pena, astronaut film. Yeah. I forget what it was called. I'll look it up right now, but it's on that level. It's on that level. It's one of those... That one was a little bit deeper than Space Cadet, but Space Cadet is one of those movies that feels like a bubblegum movie, but it's actually a little bit more...
And it kind of was, but it worked. Like, you know, it was schmaltzy, but it was like the good kind of schmaltzy, you know, kind of earns it a little bit.
Yeah.
Probably because you love the characters so much. It's just kind of, you said this is kind of on that same sort of
on that same level. I liked A Million Miles Away a little bit more. I think if I recall, maybe I gave
A Million Miles Away. That was it.
A Million Miles Away. I think either I gave it 4.5 or 5. I forget. Yeah, the third act almost pretty much made me tear up. I really love that movie, but I still enjoyed Space Cadet. Space Cadet is a lighter film, but again, it also has a little bit of resonance and drama behind it, which I found to be really cool. So Space Cadet, check it out. July 4th, Prime Video, 4 stars for me. Next up, Eric, what can you tell our Cinematics listeners about Boneyard?
It's about this dog that digs up a bunch of holes and puts his bone in it and buries it. No, this sounds is good. Actually just realized this is based on a true story. I shouldn't start with a stupid joke, but yeah, it's basically about it's a true story based on a cut this if you think you should, based on an unsolved murder.
Okay, all
is
right.
Is that fair or no?
That's fair. You can say it. You can say it.
All right. Inspired by the true events of a serial killer that may still be out there today. There you go. I just read that off of IMDb, so I guess they're fine with it. But yeah, it's let's see. They bring in Mel Gibson's character, and he's like the guy that's like a serial killer specialist.
Boneyard. It's set. It's set in New Mexico. Inspired. It's not exactly to the T, but it's inspired by the West Mesa murders of the early aunts, where I think, and that's, I forget, 11 women were murdered, but it's inspired by the West Mesa murders. And like you said, Mel Gibson is this, we can't really reveal too much. He's an expert at serial killers, and he is flown in.
If I remember, assuming I'm not conflating this with another movie, a kid finds like something. And then the cops go out there and they realize, oh wow, this is like just a complete graveyard. Like there's like holes dug up everywhere, and like,
yeah, it's Boneyard, right? It's Boneyard. Yeah.
And then Mel Gibson comes in, tries to help out, and then Brian Van Holt, he's kind of like a secondary or tertiary character at first, but then he kind of, as the movie goes on, he kind of becomes the main character of this, and we're following him. And he's trying to solve the murder. And at the same time, there's some dirty cops within his ranks that are kind of crossing over with what they're trying to figure out, trying to figure out who the killer is. And then some of the cops are doing things that are kind of crossing with that. So it's like, is one of the officers here? Is he the serial killer? They follow around another guy that's acting kind of weird and doing weird things. Oh, is that the serial killer they're looking for?
And that actor that they're following is Michael Ciro, who Eric interviewed recently, and then we'll have it up on one of our channels later this week as well.
Yeah, and so it's kind of like a whodunit, but it's based on an unsolved case. So
fictional license, yes.
Yeah, so it's got a lot. With that said, it's got a lot in common with Zodiac story wise. I think just in general, it doesn't have the same look as Mindhunter, but this feels like it could have been an episode of Mindhunter, like a long episode of Mindhunter, because it's got that kind of procedural kind of feel to it. Detectives kind of in over their heads, not knowing exactly what they're doing, and the fact that they're people within their own ranks are a problem. Makes things difficult for them to figure out. And then you have the writer, Vincent E. McDaniel, who is also an actor in this. He's like one of the
head of a unit.
Was he like a sergeant or something?
Head of a task unit, narcotics unit. Yeah.
There's a bit with him and Michael Cera in a bathroom that's a really, really cool scene. But this is a really good movie.
We also have to mention, very quickly, Chief Carter is played by 50 Cent.
Yeah.
So 50 Cent.
Actually, 50 Cent's not bad in this either. I was kind of worried about him.
And we also have the character actress Nora Zettner. She plays Detective Young. She's the partner of Brian Van Holt's Detective Ortega. So a lot of it deals with Detective Ortega's mission to find the serial killer who is killing prostitutes in New Mexico. And like Eric was saying, there's an IA internal affairs investigation regarding corrupt cops. There's a lot of things going on in this movie. Also, there's a resident creep in the area played by Weston Cage Coppola. Weston Cage Coppola is the son of Nicolas Cage. He plays a possible serial killer who might be the person behind these West Mesa murders.
That's kind of the thing of this movie, though. Like, almost not everyone, but a lot of people in this are kind of possible serial killers they're looking for.
Right.
And that's kind of one of the interesting things about it. It's like someone comes up and it's like, wait, are you, like you see the one guy and it's like, oh, that guy's definitely it. And then someone else pops up and you see some of their background. It's like, oh, they could be it. And then someone else, oh, maybe they're the one.
Okay. Bonyard, did the movie work for you overall?
Yes. It worked for me quite a bit. And I would caution people again, if you've seen Zodiac, the ending can be tricky. That said, I love how it ended. I thought that this kind of movie ends as well as you can for this kind of ending story.
Is perfectly fine. And if you actually research
fine seems like it's passable. I think the ending was actually pretty good given what they had to work with. But
it worked for me. West Mesa Murders, if you actually do look it up on Wikipedia, there's some really interesting stuff regarding the West Mesa Murders again. But remember, Boneyard in and of itself is a movie. That said, when you interviewed Vincent E. McDaniel, is that his name?
Yeah.
He said he knew people that were involved with the West Mesa Murders, that which led him to write the screenplay, wasn't he a screenwriter for this as well? So that's very interesting for Boneyard. So, and he's good in this movie too. So it has
he's definitely like one of my favorite characters in this. Him and Brian Van Holt's the main guy.
Yeah.
You got 50 Cent killing it. Like, he's not in it a lot, but when he is, like, I was not expecting this from 50 Cent. And
here's the thing that does also, this movie is directed and co-written. So it's one of the co-writers is Asif Akbar. He co-wrote that with Vincent E. McDaniel. Eric interviewed both Asif Akbar and Vincent E. McDaniel. Again, I think it's already up on one of our channels on Deepest Dream. It's a very good interview. If you look at Asif Akbar's IMDb page, IMDb account, he does so many bleeping movies. Have you checked out with actors that we all love. I think I'm actually some of them are low rated, but I don't care. I looked at some of the actors that he's been involved with.
MR9, Do or Die with Michael Jai White.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's stuff that Eric and I may be covering down the road just as recaps or rewinds.
Now that Bruce is gone, we can do that.
Yes. Thank you, Bruce. Bruce, you don't have to watch it now. You know what? What is it called? What is the phrase? The idiots are running the asylum or whatever is running the asylum. Anyway.
When the cat's away, the mice will play.
Very, very good. Eric Holmes. So anyways, Boneyard for me worked as well, but the big subtraction here, my favorite character here was Mel Gibson. And whenever Mel Gibson's on, I just wanted more Mel Gibson. That's me being selfish. Also, here's a little fact. We mentioned all these main characters. Most of these main characters have very interesting flashbacks. A lot of times, Eric does complain about flashbacks, understandably so. I really love the flashbacks in this movie. These flashbacks actually are not only are they shot differently, they give added context to the narrative. So I enjoy that part of it.
The one in particular that we don't need to talk about, but that kind of informs Mel Gibson's entire character.
Yeah.
And it's put in just the right spot.
Yeah. And so I really love a lot of the backstory here. I loved the story, I wish it was a little bit more tense as far as the editing was more propulsive, but I thought this was a solid action drama thriller, and I'm giving it Boneyard 3.5 stars. What about you, Eric?
You know, I think with this and Murder Company, we're flipping around because I'm actually 4.5 on this one. But yeah, this is like, I think with like just, you know, maybe with that little David Fincher kind of flair, this easily could have been an episode of Mindhunter.
Okay. Okay. Very good.
I would just, again, remind people, I love the ending, but I think there will be people that might not, just because of the nature of the true story. Be ready for that, but you know, it still goes interesting places.
Okay, sorry for that noise. That's me hitting the table. 3.5 stars for me, 4.5 stars for Eric Holmes. For Boneyard, it is currently now, as we speak, on digital and on demand. It was released July 2nd. That is our features. And Eric, I'm already tired. Can we bring Bruce Perky back to the show? Because that's a lot of, you know, when we had Bruce, we didn't have to talk so much. I'm getting tired. Can we quit the show right now? Can we call Bruce right now? Say, Bruce, come back. Can we stop the show?
No. Nope.
Too much work for me and you, Eric. What do you think?
The show must go on.
The show must.
I don't want you to be mean about it, especially since you used to live in Minnesota.
Okay. See, now this is horrible. Okay. Now we are living in a bizarre world without Bruce. Now Eric Holmes decides to do these segues, which he's never done in 4+ years of this. Okay, great segue. And see, I'm playing the Eric Holmes thing as I'm blowing up the spot on the segues. I don't know what's going on. Do I live in Colorado? And is Eric the fake human, fake Asian living in Los Angeles? We don't know. Everything's confusing. Anyways, Eric, sorry for blowing up the spot. We have Minnesota Mean. Tell us about it.
Yes, Minnesota Mean is a documentary basically about a Minnesota roller derby team. It's directed by Don Mickelson, who did Finding Her Beat, about the female drumming team. It was a documentary about them. Oh, go ahead.
I looked up Finding Her Beat on Rotten Tomatoes, high ratings. And I want to see Minnesota Mean, and then after that want to see Finding Her Beat for your review, of course. So
yeah. In fact, both movies have a lot in common. I mean, I kind of did the interview with Don Mickelson just today. So I kind of, when I was talking with her, I kind of reviewed the movie during the interview, more or less. But yeah, it's basically, so Don Mickelson, between this and Finding Her Beat, she's really good at kind of following these people and endearing you to them. You know, there's nothing like really dark and seedy. You know, it's not about the seedy underworld of the roller derby league. It's just a bunch of women get together. They want to do some roller derby and they have fun with it. And their lives kind of, you know, veer off in different directions, you know, progress as they go through their season of roller derby. And so you get to know all the characters. And then about halfway through the movie, start seeing their almost like a highlights reel of their roller derby games. And those are real fun to watch. And at that point, you kind of know the character, you know what positions they're good at. You start understanding the game more. And so it's fun to watch kind of the highlight reels and watching them go. And then it's also has that Rocky aesthetic. A lot of what they talk about in this is, you know, because there's like a game where they're not doing well, but then they talk about it and it's like, you know what, if we can hold our own with this, that's a win, because they know that this other team is like way better than them. So they're not even trying to win the game. I mean, they are trying to win, but that's not what's most important to them. They want to show up. Like, we know we're not going to win. We just want to, you know, kind of come out with a respectable score, that, you know, that sort of thing. We want to be good sports people, you know, have good sportsmanship, and that just kind of endears you to them more. And then, yeah, just Don Mickelson, between this and Finding Her Beat, she's really good at kind of capturing the camaraderie between these groups of people.
Okay. I'm stupid. Did we ever?
Real quick, you talked about watching Finding Your Beat and this. The two movies are almost married, in my opinion, because they have similar kind of tones and similar beats, and that you love the characters and then you get to watch them do their thing. And it's okay. It's just they're both really fantastic.
I complete Eric. Did we do Finding Her Beat for Find Your Film or Cinematics? I forget because
it was in September, I think. So probably for Cinematics. I can't remember. Okay,
so you were the one who saw it. Then I definitely did not see this. I don't know. I'm assuming Bruce saw it as well. Okay, so you really like that document. I gotta find. I'm getting senile. I completely. And this is not a bit. This is not a bit. And so this was something that you were really excited to do the interview because you did not interview her for Finding Her Beat. And then you like that. And now it's.
Oh, no, I did interview her for Finding Her Beat. It was, it was her and her co-director. I can't remember the co-director's name. I'll look that up. But
I'm a moron. Okay. So this was it. And folks, listen, Dawn Nicholson, she's part of our Cinematics Facebook group. This is horrible. When she actually
Carrie Pickett was the co-director of Finding Her Beat.
Okay. I have to see that as well. Very good. That's my mistake, folks. Finding Her Beat is available to stream online. I'll make sure to put the links on Just Watch. But Minnesota Mean, these roller derby individuals, was it interesting for you to follow their respective lives? Were they interesting people? Did it make it a very quick watch for you, a very entertaining watch?
It was very quick. In fact, I wanted to keep going. And I was telling Don when I interviewed her, like, after watching this, I'm like, you can't end here. You got to go find another roller derby team and follow them around and do kind of like the highlight clip at the end of that. And then after that, then find another. And I just love roller derby. Just like I've seen a couple of matches live. They're fun. The whole idea of, the women coming up with their names, their nicknames are fun. Just everything about it. What's not to love? And then you get to watch these women working together and you fall in love with them. And you want to root for them. And this is like, again, that, there's no like seedy undertones or there's no, I guess actually there is one kind of sad story.
Okay.
But this isn't a bummer. This is kind of like something you watch and you feel pretty good about it. And at least for me, I just love spending time with all these people. And Tom Nicholson kind of put it together really well. And, after you're done watching a bunch of people get killed, watching people get murdered in Murder Company and digging people up from the boneyard, maybe you want to put in something like Minnesota Mean, because the movie's not mean. It should be called Minnesota Joy, because I felt joy watching it.
Here you go. Blurbmeister Eric Holmes on Minnesota Mean. By the way, it's available to rent and own across all of North America. TVOD, digital, HD, internet, cable, and satellite platforms, as well as on DVD. Hooray for physical media. And starting on July 2nd, 2024 through Freestyle Digital Media. It's available right now. Yes, Eric.
Yes. I was also going to thought about this while I was watching, but there's a lot in common with this and the documentary Murder Ball. Kind of like you feel like you're in it. You feel like you're with the, with all the players and everything. This fantastic documentary, I would give it 5 stars.
Wow.
Especially like if you just watch a bunch of like bummer indie movies, this is like palate cleanser and a great one too. One I would definitely want to go back to.
Okay. So that is it. Wow. Some very good stuff this week on Cinematics. We've wrapped up pretty much episode 249. Bringing in the rear, right? Think of that graphic family show is Bruce Perky. He will be on in moments so you can actually journey through his own cinematic television viewing week in a few moments. But next week, we want to tell you there's going to be a couple of, I'm an idiot. I'll get back to that in a second. We will be covering an audio movie called Unsinkable. There is a movie called The Inheritance, co-written by MCU person Joe Russo. Eric, what can you? Sorry,
The MCU is Joe Russo.
Russo loves that, right? Whenever I say that, does it though? Eric, can you?
He gets that a lot. It's fun. All Pair of Nightmares, Joe Russo.
I love the
Postmortems, Joe Russo.
All right, Postmortem. Joe Russo is fantastic filmmaker.
Soulmates, Joe Russo. The Locksmith's Joe Russo, and currently
I love the Locksmith's
Joe Russo.
Joe Russo is a fantastic writer and he is a fantastic artist, and you'll be interviewing Joe Russo and company for The Inheritance next week. There's also another movie that we're going to be covering called The Convert. Bruce Perky has links, and Eric Holmes has links. I'm going to tell Bruce Perky that there's no excuse for them to see it, for them not to see it, because they have the links. And watch, they're going to watch it, and I'm me trying to be the big boss of the situation, which I'm not. I'm gonna start my link, and it'll say, "Oh, your link expired." It always happens to me. I tell Bruce and Eric something, and then they're the ones who do it, and I'm the ones who fail vis-a-vis the coverage on this recent documentary, Minnesota Mean, and what was that? Finding Her Beat. I know, yeah. Bruce and Eric cover. I completely forgot. It's my fault. Yes, Eric. Yes.
I will say, we can't talk about The Inheritance now. One, because we're wrapping up the show. And number two, didn't come out till next week. Yeah. But a movie I can't talk about.
Okay.
And I won't go in depth because we talked about it previously. But Joe Russo and Chris Lamont's previous movie they wrote, Soulmates. Mm. Go check that out. And that'll help you kind of get you primed and excited for The Inheritance.
And so, Cinematic Sisters, we're going to say, Mr. Eric Holmes, Soulmates, I have some time this July 4th weekend. Why should I see Soulmates? It looks like a thriller to me. Is it a little bit more than your cut above thriller? Well, why should they see it?
It's kind of best way you can probably say is the elevator pitch is it's like Saw, but with the dating game. Mix the Saw and the dating game together. Like people, two people just woke up chained to each other, and they go through these different rooms, and they go through like these old dating game sort of games, I guess.
Yeah.
And if they do it right, they move on to the next room. If they do it wrong, someone gets tortured. And it's silly. It's fun. If you like Saw, like the dating game, you like Soulmates. And the ending is great. The movie kept, I remember because like the movie's still going. Why is the movie, it's over. And then the thing happens. I'm like, oh, son of a. This is awesome.
So basically watch the end credits of Soulmates.
No, watch the end credits, but the actual ending of the movie. Sometimes
you think it's going to end already and you're actually wondering.
Yeah, the movie feels like it's wrapped up and you're like, why aren't the credits rolling? The movie's still going, but then there's more that happens. And the stuff that happens is like, just kind of like elevates the movie that much more.
Okay. Before we go, Eric Holmes, do you want to say a couple of the movie picks? Eric and I, is that a word, bloviating? We're just talking about movies that we've seen.
That's what we do here.
We
blow all the V8s.
Blow the V8s, family show. What? There are people who are in the know, maybe even in the know better than us, Eric Holmes. What are some of the extra movie picks that our Cinematics folks can check out as well?
Yes, we got the director and both co-writers of Boneyard, Asif Akbar. His movie pick was Jackie Brown. And Vincent E. McDaniel, I don't think they intended this double feature, but it's a great double feature with Jackie Brown, which Vincent McDaniel's was South Central. Those are both great picks. And then
South Central. I need to see South Central.
It's been a while, but I'm definitely due for a rewatch for South Central.
Okay, right.
And then Don Mickelson chose Jesus Camp documentary, I believe. I've not seen Jesus Camp, so I'll have to go check that one out.
Okay, yeah. And if I recall, Jesus Camp got a lot of great reviews as well. And that's it. I would usually say final thoughts, Bruce Perky, but it's going to be a final thought, Eric Holmes. But how do we do? How do you think we do?
You know what? We could give final thoughts to Bruce Perky and just cut to him right now. I don't know where we're gonna put that in, but you know
that'd be funny. Anything else you want to say before we get out of here, Eric Holmes?
Bunch of good movies today, and going to that Film Vault live event on August 4th. So I know there's a couple people in the Cinematics group. There's a lot of crossover between Cinematics and the Film Vault. So if you're heading out that way, let me know.
Yeah,
and we'll hang out. Greg won't, but I will.
Yes, yes. But Eric, hopefully Eric, and Angie Clark will have a good time and maybe have a couple of beers and dinner or lunch together. It'd be great to see both of you guys. That'd be very, very wonderful. And of course, as Bruce Perky said, we'll be there in spirit. Okay, that'd be very cool. We had a great time. Bruce Perky, even though you're part of the show after this, we do miss you on the regular show. But anyways, so for more wonderful movie reviews, check out Bruce Perky in a few moments. And of course, here's Glenn.
Goodbye, everybody. Thank you for joining Cinematics.
Hey, everybody. This is Bruce's first weekly recap. This will be the week of July 5th. when new releases are coming out. The only reason I'm doing this is because I probably won't be sitting in on the main weekly podcast with Eric and Greg anymore. Mostly just because, oh boy, recording a couple hours every week is causing a little too much strife with me and my wife. You might hear her banging on the doors and yelling and being upset that I'm in here whiling my hours away on podcastery. So what I will do instead is I will give a weekly update, and I'll probably still do the monthly Patreon broadcast. Definitely get involved in that. In fact, if you haven't looked on the Cinematics group, we do have a current poll up for the year that I am doing for this month, and that is going to be 2000 and I want to say, boy, now I'm forgetting what year it was. 2006. That's what it was. 2006. All right. So every week I will first give you my quick reviews of the movies that are new for this week. Obviously, you want to go and check the actual Cinematics podcast every week with Greg and Eric to get the full review of whatever movie that is. Plus, they usually do a few more movies that I haven't caught. So definitely go check that out. This week, the only one I have done of the new movies is a little movie called Kill. Now, if you're like me, you probably saw some of the previews of this, even in the theater. And by appearances, it looks to be kind of a Bollywood version of, I don't know, John Wick on a train. That was kind of my first impression. Kill is directed by Nikhil Nagesh Bhatt, starring as Amrit Lakshya. I guess that is his whole name, Lakshya, kind of like Madonna. I don't know. And then Talika is his love interest, and that's played by Tanya Manikta. Basic concept is this. Amrit is a member of kind of the military soldier. He's kind of like a special ops kind of dude. He is in love with Talika. Talika has got an arranged marriage getting set up and has already been betrothed to somebody, but Amrit loves her, and he doesn't want to take that for anything. So he's basically gets on the train, same train that her family's on, meets her and, you know, hides away and meets her in the bathroom, proposes to her. She accepts, takes off the ring of the guy who's been promised to her, puts on Amrit's ring, and it's going to be great. Unfortunately, and if you've seen the previews, you probably get this idea. Unfortunately, the train is beset upon by bandits. And there's a lot of them. Some of them are members of each other's family. Some of them are just, I seem to be various rogues, but they all have a basic idea that they, I guess, almost like old school train robbers. You know, they just kind of in mass come onto this train. It's probably, I want to say, like maybe 20 of them, maybe more bandits. They get on this train and they just start basically, they have knives and stuff. They basically come up to people and say, you know, give us what you've got. They're taking some of it. They're beating people up. They're threatening everybody and so on and so forth. That's the basic setup. You think, okay, cool. Probably the first 20 minutes, I was like, it's a little goofy. It's a little chaotic. It's not really hitting that John Wick sort of action slick, you know, choreographed spot that you might want. And for a while, I was just kind of like, okay, what is it going to be? Just all these bandits, you know, threatening and fighting people. And, you know, obviously Amrit is going to be the hero, right? That's what's going to be. It takes a few turns, and I was surprised, and pleasantly so. Probably within the first, 20 minutes after it kind of got its feet under it, I started to really get into the groove of the basic kind of conflict and how they're setting it up and how the bandits are being set up and how the different good guys, I guess you'd say, on the train are being set up. They do set up a little thing where Talika's father is like kind of a bigwig, and the bandits figure out like, oh, if we take him, you know, take him and kidnap him and hold him hostage, we can probably get even more money. So that's kind of a sort of a setup. But the real conflict, I won't reveal, but probably at about the, 35, 40 minute mark, there is a turn that I didn't quite expect to happen in the movie like this. And when that turn happens, you're like, oh, now it's on. That was kind of the response I had. Sure, it gets a little repetitive. Sure, it's somewhat what you'd expect. I don't think it's as violent or as bloody as it wants to purport itself to be, although some people might disagree. It might be really bloody and too violent for some people. But for this kind of movie, I think it's right along the lines of what you'd expect. I guess the big question is, how much fun do you have with a movie like this? Isn't as stylish as John Wick? Isn't as cutesy and, I guess, self-conscious as Bullet Train? Or as complicated plot-wise, but All that being said, there is a rough and ready kind of charm to this action movie. And I'm not an action guy. You probably guys probably all know this by now if you listen to this podcast. If you don't, I'm not an action guy. I had a pretty good time watching this movie. Overall, I was pretty darn entertained with this movie. Is it going to be a 4.5, 5-star movie for me? No. But did I have a pretty great time while I was watching it overall? Yeah, I really did. And it kept changing things enough that it kept my interest. It kept doing some fun and weird things, which you kind of expect when you get outside of the American movie system. That one of the things I love about international movies is that they'll take weird turns. The plot won't exactly go where you expect it to go. There are some interesting subplots in here about class and about family, because weirdly, and this is something you wouldn't see probably in the Americanized version of this, is the bandits are members of each other's family. The people that are the good guys, in quote, also have members of their family on the train. So there's a lot of like vengeance for family members and like fighting to save family members or to protect family members on both sides. And I thought that was a interesting kind of a little element to this. So overall, I'd say I'm probably 3.5 on this movie. Maybe 3.5 to 4. I might go higher if I see it again. This is definitely one you could just throw on and watch parts of it, enjoy it perfectly well. I don't know if you have to rush to the theater to see it, but if you're an action person, this might be something you would want to go check out in the theater. I don't think it's hugely cinematic in the way that a John Wick movie would be, but I think it would be a satisfying popcorn movie if that's what you were looking for. And that would be the only feature movie I'm watching this week. Once again, check out the main podcast to hear what Eric and Greg think about it. I should probably predict what they are going to think about movies on this since I haven't talked to them about them. I'm going to say, Eric is going to either be 3-star banger, or he might go straight up 4.5 to 5 stars in this. Greg, I think, will probably go a little higher than 4 stars in this. I'm going to say 4.5 for Greg. All right, we'll see. You guys can keep notes at home or keep track if you want to. All right, I'll just do a few recommendations, other things I saw this week to give you some things you might want to watch. Number one, the first newish movie that just dropped on Max is Problemista, A24 film from, I think, earlier this year, maybe late last year. Either way, it's directed by Julio Torres and starring Julio Torres and written by Julio Torres. He plays Alejandro from El Salvador, but he's living in New York, trying to make his way. And then you have Elizabeth, played by Tilda Swinton. That's really the two main people you want to know. Other than that, you have RZA in this in a small role, and you have Isabella Rossellini as a sometimes narrator of this movie. Warning right out the gate. If you're someone who hates the quirk, especially the Wes Anderson-y sort of quirk, this veers somewhat in that direction, and you may or may not even want to step foot in this world. I think, though, if you can get past that, this movie is a lot more charming and a lot more fun and a lot more heart on its sleeve than the average kind of Wes Anderson movie. It's not as built into its dollhouse the way Wes Anderson movies are. What is the basic concept of Problemista? Alejandro works. He's working to try to keep his visa and stay in America, in New York, until he can make his dream come true, which is becoming a toy designer for Hasbro. And throughout the movie, you will hear a bunch of his toy design ideas. He's got a whole bunch of them. They're all weird and unusual and quirky and kind of postmodern, hipstery sort of toy design ideas. But with that being said, I mean, that's what you should probably do in this day and age. Either way, that isn't really the main point of the story, although it gives a little flavor around the edges. He's working in a place called Freeze Corp. This is a place, you know, you've heard of those places that supposedly, you know, cryogenically freeze somebody, keep them on ice until they can be brought back alive and whatever illness or whatever they had going on with them is solved and that they are able to live their life. That's where he works. Very quickly, he makes a mistake in he's taking care of this one particular pod only. I don't know how this works. He's taking care of the pod for the character played by RZA. He was an artist, and Alejandro accidentally momentarily unplugs the pod, plugs it back in. And of course, that's a big no-no. It doesn't mess up the freeze necessarily, but it causes him to get fired. On his way out, he does have an encounter with the woman who had been romantically involved with RZA, and that is Elizabeth, played by Tilda Swinton. And she is something. She is a lot. She is, I don't know, not quite say a Karen per se, if that's even a word we can use anymore. She's just like one of those oddball art lover slash, I don't know what you'd say, person, a lover of the arts who's also trying to kind of attach themselves to an artist who's kind of made that her personality, but she's also a micromanager and just a crazy, hard to handle, demanding person, hilariously so, which is the whole point of this movie. And the basic setup is she kind of pulls Alejandro into her orbit as possibly an assistant, possibly since he's lost his sponsor for visa ship. She promises that she will help get him that if he helps her gather up all of the artworks that have been kind of dispersed throughout wherever from Riz's character. If he can get all those artworks back and so they can do a show, which was always his dream, then she will go ahead and sponsor Alejandro. That's the basic concept of this movie. Doesn't really matter. It's just a reason for them to be together for quite a while and have a lot of things happen. The basic, I guess, drive of the story is the relationship, the oddball relationship between Tilda's character and Julio's character. And that is where either you will have a lot of fun, or if it drives you crazy, you will have not a lot of fun. I overall quite enjoyed it. I'm probably going to go 4 stars in this movie. Once again, I think your mileage will vary based on if the quirk level works for you. I kept trying to think of who to compare this to. I don't know. I just feels like this is a, I mean, obviously Julio did just about everything in this movie. And it's one of those things where A24 is really, I think, doing great work when they find somebody who maybe wouldn't get quite as much of a budget or be allowed to really just explore their vision and their voice, especially at such a young age and an unknown kind of status. And I think that's where A24 shines when they do that sort of thing. And this feels like something that could be the beginning of something pretty great. And hopefully we'll see more and more from this person. And I quite liked it. 4 stars for me. You can check it out now without making a lot of effort. If you have Max, that's a great way to check this out. I would advise, if it sounds interesting to you, dip in. Probably if you're 20 or 30 minutes in and you're enjoying it, you're going to probably enjoy it all the way through. And I think we can all agree Tilda Swinton is a international treasure. Hopefully she keeps doing things for many, many, many more years. All right, last couple things. Quick recommends. I watched a couple things I will just mention in the last little bit. I watched an exploitation film from 1971 called I Drink Your Blood. This is as sleazy and as violent and as unapologetic as you'd expect from something in that age. You know, it's the age of things like Last House on the Left and some pretty grimy grindhouse sorts of movies. This is one I've heard about forever because I think it was on a double bill with I Eat Your Skin, I Drink Your Blood. I never really knew what it was, and I always figured it was just dumb, and it is dumb, but it's a pretty unique movie. And I think people who like exploitation, weirdo 70s movies might want to check this out. And I'll give you the concept because the concept itself is pretty outrageously weird. And I think that will be enough to draw a few people in. Basic concept is this. This is post Manson, right? So you've got this small town. It's like, I don't know, any town in the Midwest or the South, you know, bunch of rednecks, all probably Christian, probably all conservative. And in rolls this crazy group of satanic hippies. Yes, everyone's worried about them. Even then, satanic hippies. The satanic hippies roll into town. They are causing various bits of trouble. They're, you know, antagonizing people, threatening people. They take up in this abandoned hotel or something. And they're just kind of basically causing trouble. But they're not killing anybody, although they feel like they might be on the verge of doing that. Where it really takes a turn is we have the nice family in town, and they have one of the members of their family had been assaulted earlier by these hippies. Why that's not a bigger deal, like they don't get the police involved, I'm not sure. But what happens is the little kid is one of the best, worst little kids in horror movies I can think of for a long time. First of all, there's a bakery and a veterinarian shop. The kid's grandfather is a vet. And then his kid works with his mom in like this little bakery thing. So the hippies keep coming to the bakery And they basically kind of come into town like, you know, bugging everybody. They get a bunch of these meat pies from the bakery. Well, you know, meat pies are never a good idea, but they get them, whatever. Well, before they come back the next day, the little kid runs across a rabid dog. Of course, what would a little kid in a movie like this do? Go get his grandpa's shotgun, go out, kill the dog because he's rabid, gets a syringe from his veterinarian grandfather, pulls some of the rabid blood out of the dog, injects it into the meat pies that the hippies will buy the next morning, and, well, craziness ensues. I just thought, as a concept for a horror movie, it's really weird and bonkers. And hey, if that sounds interesting to you and you want to see this kind of sleazy 70s exploitation version of satanic hippies on rabies, then knock yourself out. I would say 3-star banger all the way on this kind of movie. If it's what you're looking for, it's going to really hit the spot. For most people, it's going to be absolutely something they don't have any interest in. And I think that's the last big thing I wanted to mention, other than I watched Oppenheimer. I'm just going to say I watched it. I gave it a shot. I've been very skeptical of most of Nolan's stuff lately. It is not really, it didn't really have a lot of interest for me. I just couldn't get myself up for it. But it's now on Amazon for free. So I said, I'm going to give it a try. And I ended up quite liking it. Probably one of my favorite Nolan movies. Probably this one and Dark Knight are probably up towards the top. On the bad side of Oppenheimer, I'm not going to go through a whole review of it. Y'all mostly know what's going on with it. So here's my pluses and minuses. The minuses for Oppenheimer is the first hour and a half to 2 hours, basically just the story of Oppenheimer creating the bomb and all that, even though it does go into some other stuff. I don't think you get a lot from this about his actual person, like who he is as a person. He's such an isolated, kind of oddball figure. You don't really get into his mind so much, although you do kind of get some from the outside of how he acts. I think in the first couple acts, you could probably get all that information just as well from a great documentary. This movie isn't especially visually stunning to me. It's well done, but it's nothing special. Now, that being said, the final act, which I think a lot of people maybe kind of didn't like, I think the final act is where the real meat of this movie is, because this movie really ends up being more about the legacy of people involved in these kind of things. Like, how are they cursed by it? How does a creation or a scientific discovery or scientific ingenuity or knowledge get corrupted, transformed, co-opted immediately by the powers that be? And how do those powers that be, you know, in a real petty way, use their power to kind of destroy the people who gave them the, you know, gave them this ingenuity, gave them this creation, which of course ended up being a bomb in this case. But I mean, the whole idea of nuclear power and everything was kind of coming out of the same discovery. How do you take that and just twist it and then punish the people who made it? I think the whole Red Scare / use, misuse of government official power to kind of try to destroy the people who brought it to you, I think all that stuff is super interesting and a really interesting kind of byproduct of that era. And it kind of had a courtroom drama sort of esque feel to it. And I don't remember if, I know Greg saw it and liked it. I think he ended up liking it better after the final act as well. I don't remember if Eric saw it or not. If Eric didn't see it, the one thing I would say to him is he could almost skip to the last 90 minutes of this movie and probably have a great time. I mean, you would lose some of the context, but not too much. But yeah, I think it was a worthwhile watch. I was surprised that I enjoyed it quite as much as I did. Once again, I would probably go 4 stars. Hopefully this is interesting to people. Hopefully this works for people. Think of it as an extra little mini podcast to go with the main podcast. I will be trying to bring a few of the new movies, my perspective of a few of the new movies every week, as well as my own unusual picks from here and there. If you do have suggestions, of course, I will always keep those in mind, and I will always be dropping in those along with whatever I just happen to get in the mood to watch. All right, everybody, keep checking out Cinematics. I am sure Eric and Greg have a ton of great stuff to bring to you this week.